Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line, fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's go to the hotline where we find the Post-Gazette's Brian Batko. I'm looking at a mailbag that Brian just constructed here, responding to really people from around the world. I see, Brian, a lot of people checking in on your mailbag. Brian's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. A man named Jack says, why can't Mason be the starter? He's very underrated. Brian, you said he can be, in my opinion, kind of the perfect swing guy who can take on that role because he's done it, or settle into backup territory because he's done it. What do you think is the ceiling for Mason, and how do you think this quarterback derby plays out here?
I think the ceiling for Mason, Joe, is not all that dissimilar to ceilings for many Steelers teams of the post-Ben era and even the later years of the Ben era. 10-7, maybe 11-6 if they get a couple breaks, and probably lose to one of the teams that are firmly above them in the AFC North pecking order. So, yeah, I mean, kind of like I told that chatter, I think the Rudolph signing makes a ton of sense because, I mean, let's face it, he didn't have a lot of great options after a rough season with the Titans. And for the Steelers, well, I hate to say it, but they've jerked him around for a while, and they kind of know that he'll be a team player about all that. And this is still very uncertain here as we go into week two of free agency.
I disagree. They've jerked who around? Mason?
Yeah.
In what way? I disagree with that. I think they've been very, very good to Mason over the years.
Well, that's what the money's for. I never really felt bad for Mason when people say, oh, he didn't get a chance. I mean, the way it works is the team drafts you where they want to. They pay you what they're obligated to. And then you are at the liberty of them to decide where you should be on the depth chart. But I think, you know, until that late season run 2 years ago replacing Kenny Pickett, where Mike Tomlin rode the hot hand, to his credit, there might have been a locker room mutiny had he not and gone back to Pickett. I think you could argue that Rudolph didn't get the fairest of shakes here. You know, his 2019 season getting benched for Duck Hodges was not a bullet point he'll want high on his resume, but I think a lot of people thought they would run it, give him a chance again after that 2023 stretch run. And instead they threw out both he and Kenny Pickett essentially when they went to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it makes you wonder why if he feels the way you feel, why he's back here. That's my question. I'm not even sure he
feels. Like I said, you only have so many good options at this point after a, what did he get, 1-4 starting games for the Titans? And
yeah,
you know, the statistics were horrendous. And I'll say this much, sort of to the Steelers' defense or credit. I mean, remember when we were talking around this time a year ago how robust the market might be for Rudolph the way he finished the season? That did not materialize. So I don't blame them for not giving him too much to return. And, you know, he found a 1-year deal in Tennessee for pretty modest change.
Yeah. And when you look back on his benching for Duck, I mean, I could never blame them for that. He fell apart the night he got attacked by Myles Garrett. He had 1 touchdown and 4 picks. And then the next week against Cincinnati was a total disaster in the first half. And he got benched, and the other guy came in and won them a big game. And the other guy beat Cleveland the next week in another big game. And yet they still went back to Mason for the season finale after Duck started to go south a little bit. I can't blame the Steelers or Tomlin really ever for anything they've done to Mason Rudolph. You know, I know Jerry Dula.
What about, Joe, what about relitigating the 2022 offseason and using the 20th overall pick on Kenny Pickett instead of maybe just saying, all right, Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph is our quarterback competition. We will put off this QB predicament another year and see what our former third-round pick, first-round grade guy has in him.
Well, the Steelers thought they were getting a franchise quarterback in Kenny Pickett. And I know people say, well, Mason didn't really get a chance that year. But when you have a first rounder and a free agent that you put decent money into, I mean, if you're Mason or his agent and you actually thought you were going to get a chance when that became the case, I think you're crazy if you're Mason Rudolph.
I'm saying even
situation.
Before that, they could have signed him. They could have signed him in free agency earlier and not and just not drafted a quarterback or not certainly not drafted one in the first round of that class, which I think there should be a 30 for 30 on that 2022 quarterback class, Joe, and it would only be 5 minutes long.
Right.
Just tell us, do a slide of Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howe, Malik Willis, and Matt Corral. Where did they all end up, and
right.
why did it go so wrong?
Right, kind of a reverse 30-30. Like, that would be great on what happened to these people. This quarterback class, people have their own questions about. I love Jackson Dart, as you know. And now I see.
I know you do.
Jack Ham just texted me and said Mel Kiper has Dart going number 9 to New Orleans. Everybody has him in the first round suddenly, Brian. Did you get to see him a lot? What do you think of Jackson Dart? Limits, hates him.
The strong word.
I don't
hate him.
I'm somewhere. Limits just loves playing the clip of him getting picked off.
I know.
That's his favorite. It's a good way to needle you. And I think that's healthy for your relationship, seeing each other 5 days a week. So
you're right.
He's going to take a shot towards the end zone. No one there but Gators. And it's a pick.
Only Gators. Only Gators on ESPN there with Jackson Dart throwing a pick in the end zone.
All right, Brian.
Those timeouts didn't matter.
Only
they
Gators
still
in the
lost.
Building.
Let me have it
I'm
on
not,
Dart.
I'm not as high on him as Joe. I'm not as anti-Dart as City Limits, but one quarterback analyst who I always put a lot of stock into the opinion is Chris Sims from NBC, and he just came out with his quarterback rankings. He has Dart 3rd behind, of course, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Nothing ground-shaking there, but he kind of settled on he's good but not great. He's not a first-round prospect, but maybe in the high second round it would make sense for a team to take him and just trust that he's got a pretty high floor, not necessarily the highest ceiling. Sims is pretty down on his deep throwing and deep ball ability, and I know other talent evaluators are too. And if I'm the Steelers, first of all, I'm leery of taking a quarterback in the first round to begin with, and if I do, it better not be a guy who I have questions about airing it out to DK Metcalf for the next 4 or 5 years. So I am not on the Dart first round train,
yeah,
but I can see why people like him. I just don't. I'm not in that camp.
Brian Batko of the Post Gazette. You can read the mailbag in question at postgazette.com. Let's talk a little bit about other guys or other areas the Steelers could attack in the draft. Where do you think they're going? Who are some names that come to mind for you, Brian?
I think all arrows are pointing to replenishing the depth and the youth on that defensive line. And I've been meaning to look this up one of these days when I've got really nothing to do, but it feels like most years by mid-March, you can kind of peg what the Steelers are going to do in the draft based on the roster moves that they've made or not made and the holes that exist on the depth chart. I mean, go back to 21. I think everybody knew they were taking a running back. It was just a matter of Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, or I think Javonte Williams was kind of the dark horse there. You know, even that 2022 draft, I don't know that everybody was convinced they were going quarterback, but the amount that they were scouting the quarterbacks sure was a green flag. So, you know, the fact that they didn't go out and make a big move for any free agents, you know, no offense to Daniel Ikwale, former Patriot, but, you know, they need somebody else up there, especially with cutting Larry Ogunjobi. Part of me thought, okay, they really love Larry O for some reasons unbeknownst to us. Maybe they will just give him his last season on his deal. Good thing they didn't, considering he got suspended for banned substances. But yeah, they need a potential Cam Hayward replacement, or at the very least a Bash brother to play with Keanu Benton in the future.
Limits, do you have a question? You're raising your hand back there, like Arnold Horshack from the old show Welcome Back, Cotter. Do you remember that show, Brian?
No, but I know the song. It's a good song.
Yeah, it was the first place where John Travolta made a mark in America pop culture.
I would like to ask the teacher for permission to ask a question.
Please.
Will Cordarrelle Patterson be brought in cold to make the fourth round draft pick in Green Bay for the Steelers, or maybe at a remote location like the Steelers draft party if he is still on the team upcoming draft?
Even better, they should bring in the frozen cadavers of Cordarrelle Patterson and Justin Fields yes. to make the Steelers first pick, just like they did in the real games, Brian. Great question from Limits.
Cordero should be in Green Bay shoveling snow at the end of April like he was doing the day after the playoff loss and when he complained on Instagram about not getting enough touches. That was still one of the richest subplots of this offseason. I'll say this much, though, about the running back group, fellas, and this dovetails with Joe's last question, too. But, I mean, could you talk yourself into a first-round running back? I probably wouldn't.
Yes.
I would have some serious scarring from the Najee Harris year, but I look at the moves the Steelers are making offensively, investing in the O-line, getting DK Metcalf, who's kind of an AJ Brown facsimile here, and what else would you need to be Eagles-ish in what you do? Well, you would need a game changer like a Saquon Barkley. Now, who in the draft is that other than Ashton Jeanty? Maybe Omarion Hampton from UNC. I think maybe the two Ohio State guys. After that, I think you just get some sort of run-of-the-mill, short-yardage bruisers who can help you, but aren't really going to elevate you the way that you thought Najee was and the way that Saquon clearly did for the Eagles.
I'll tell you what else you would get. A running quarterback, and they just had one. Now, I'm not a big believer in
no argument from me there.
In Justin Fields as a franchise quarterback, but given their circumstances, I would have doubled down on him. I would have exceeded the Jets' offer and promised him the job and promised him that he would have set a record for quarterback carries in a season, which is, I think, 176 by Lamar in 2019. Drafted a running back and just got a backup quarterback who's like Fields, like a Mariota type, who's just a runner, and just tripled down on this idea of, all right, this is what we have. We're going to run it like we're a college team and mix in, you know, some play action, some shots down the field, the way Tannehill used to do when he had Derrick Henry, you know, and no surprise that he hasn't been very good when he doesn't have Derrick Henry. But if the game becomes easier when you have a great running back and you're a running quarterback, too. Like, if you have a great running game and you're committed to it, then suddenly the pass game opens up. I would have kept Fields and drafted a running back, Brian.
Oh, I think they're going to draft a running back regardless, but I agree with pretty much every eighth and 16th syllable you just uttered there, Joe. I think Fields, here's another thing about it with me to Fields, and I get that he's got a lot of people who are down on him and give people crap for thinking he could ever put it together and become a franchise guy, which, I mean, I can still squint and see it. He was the 11th overall pick and was really good at Ohio State, but here's the other aspect of it to me. For a franchise that tries to buck against this perception that they're just treading water and spinning their wheels and content to go 9-8 or 10-7 every season. Well, kicking the can away from the curb on Fields, now 2024 really was a waste. I mean, what was the point? To see if Russell Wilson could cook like old days again and get you there? I guess you could argue that. But if you go back and you match the Jets' offer and you know, maybe do a little bit more to woo Fields, well, hey, now you can talk yourself into, okay, we're building on what he did with Arthur Smith. He's going to have the same head coach and play caller for the second year in a row after getting away from the Bears' dumpster fire. And clearly, our play caller loves the guy. It's not hard to really deduce that when you listen to Arthur Smith last year on Fields. So that all just made a lot of sense to me, and I'm still kind of surprised it didn't go that way.
Yeah, nothing makes sense now. I mean, we always
now we're on the conveyor belt of random quarterbacks again. Woohoo!
Exactly. And the one they have and the one they're waiting on, neither one's a runner. Nothing makes sense. Just nothing. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
See you, buddy.
Bye, Brian.
A nice man he is. Unlimits. Is he saying bye to you right now? Seems like the kind of guy who would come back for some chit-chat on the way out, right?
He did.
Guess what we have? Pizza.
Andrew, I could smell it literally from inside the studio.
Our friend Andrew Lindberg, are you treating me today or am I treating you again?
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft 3.0 is out. Oh, Limitless Wonder.
Yeah, I saw it.
And guess who he has going to the Steelers at 21?
I know who he has going to the Steelers at 21.
The dart thrower.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
I'm going to make a mock draft. I'm going to make a mock draft every single day.
Somebody texted in and had maybe some reasons why they think I'm cranky today. Can you read that text? something to do with the pizza for Jose on Friday when that happened?
I have a sneaky suspicion that either Joe didn't get to golf yesterday or something went awry in his game, and that is truly why he is so angry today. Perhaps he continues harboring resentment against the unnamed pizza place for Friday, too.
That goes down in history. That and you playing in a rock box. In fact, I want to ask Brooke Pryor about that. Let's bring on Brooke Pryor from ESPN, which is where you know her from. Brooke, thank you for joining us today. My friend Austin, City Limits, we call him, a couple of weeks ago revealed that instead of a sandbox when he was a child, he played in a rock box, which we all thought was rather odd and perhaps dangerous. Your thoughts?
Now, some context to that, Brooke. It's not like these were like large, huge boulders that you'd find in like a mountain range.
They were rocks nonetheless, Brooke.
Small,
he was in a rock
rocks.
Box.
Yeah, like pea gravel, they call it.
Oh, okay. So it was a gravel box, not a rock box. Because like a gravel box is fine. That's like a fun texture, and that feels like less cleanup than a sandbox. But like anything bigger than like some little pea-sized gravel, and that feels kind of dangerous. It feels like your parents are asking for you to start throwing rocks at windows and shattering things. Like, they need a better insurance policy with a play place like that.
So it was gravel we're talking?
Yeah, it was pea gravel, but we called it the rock box. Okay. Because it wasn't sand, it was just some rocks.
Well, thank you for helping to clarify that, Brooke. Also, are you bonding with City Limits over your North Carolina fandom? And would you agree that they shouldn't be in the NCAA tournament?
I mean, look, sure, maybe they shouldn't be in, but, you know, to all the haters, I say cry more. I don't often get to be a villain, but I'm embracing this. My husband says that this is the start of my villain arc of just embracing UNC getting in while West Virginia is on the outside, the governor's calling for an investigation into the NCAA, all those good things. Like, you know what? I'm having fun with it. I'm actually headed to Dayton in a little bit this afternoon. So you can go ahead and circle the Tar Heels to lose, because I don't remember the last time I've seen them have a win in person. But, you know, there's always a first time. There's always a next time. Maybe my fortunes and theirs will change.
I like the heel turn. I think this is going to be good. In the meantime, what about this quarterback situation with the Steelers? How does this wind up, and when do we have a resolution? How long is Aaron Rodgers going to drag this out?
I mean, talk about a villain arc. I think that waiting this out is contributing to mine. I mean, it feels like, yeah, everybody is on Aaron Rodgers' time, and he doesn't really have a firm deadline or timeline, it seems. I mean, I would think everyone wants a resolution sooner rather than later, and certainly before the draft, because it could drastically alter what the Giants do, what the Steelers do. I don't know how much it affects the Vikings' plans, because I think that they are more likely to get another veteran quarterback than draft another quarterback. But, I mean, he is very much the main character right now, and everyone is waiting on him. But the Steelers got some kind of insurance policy in bringing Mason Rudolph back, as Cam Hayward said today on his podcast. Like, they're comfortable going into the season with him. He does have starting experience, but I don't think that that's the plan A or B or really even C that they saw unfolding when they started free agency.
Is Joe Flacco going to wind up here? Is that where we're headed?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think that it's an option the way that everything is an option right now until they get another one or two quarterbacks on the roster. I think that's something that they look into, but I mean, at this point there are, I believe, 6 free agent quarterbacks available that played at least 25% of offensive snaps last year. Joe Flacco is one of them. Aaron Rodgers is one of them. Russell Wilson is one of them. The other options, I believe, are Drew Lock and Tyler Huntley.
Oh my God.
And I can't, the other one is escaping me at the moment. But yeah, what I'm saying is it's slim pickings out there.
I wasn't even thinking of those two names. Now I'm mortified beyond where I was before. But let me get to this in the meantime. We have Brooke Pryor from ESPN, fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're coming in on the 50-minute mark pretty soon here, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. As you adroitly pointed out, I wasn't even thinking of this when the Cam Hayward stuff came out today, where he's not exactly campaigning for Aaron Rodgers here. And as you said, Brooke, on social media, this time last year, he absolutely was campaigning pretty hard for Russell Wilson. So Hayward, do we have that clip that we can play for everybody here? Hayward came out and just said, basically, he doesn't need any of this crap as far as, you know, waiting around. And if Rodgers wants to go on a darkness retreat or any of this, he just wants this thing to get done one way or another. And now I'm starting to wonder, you know, when the leader of the team that is after you is this lukewarm to cold on you coming here, man, I wonder what you're thinking if you're Aaron Rodgers. Let's take a listen to Cam Hayward.
I want to play football. I'm tired of talking about the quarterback situation. I'd rather have it done. I don't know what ends up happening. I don't know, man. Like, this is I'm ready to move on in the free agency. There's too much going on.
So if they called you and were like, we need you to follow him into the darkness for a couple days. If he says, if you come down there with him, he's signing. Are you going to be off the grid for a little bit, go to the darkness and try to get this guy? We need you. You're our best recruiter. I'm about to get to Darius Slay, and it sounds like you recruited him too. So we need you to start recruiting. Get that NIL bag out like you did at Ohio State.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
Call me crazy, Brooke, but if I'm Aaron Rodgers and that's the best pitch that I get from the leader of the team that's interested in me, I don't really feel like I'm wanted there. Am I nuts for that?
I don't think you are. I mean, maybe this is the Steelers are now deciding to play hard to get and do some reverse psychology here, but I don't think that's the case. I'm just trying to think of any possible explanation other than Cam Hayward is just really tired of the end of his career being defined by this question mark at quarterback. I mean, I know this is a team that is so tired of talking about the quarterback. They were last year and the year before that and the year before that. To me, this is just signals how exhausted Cam Hayward is of this storyline. And the whole team is, which, I mean, this to me is a reflection of the angst in the locker room toward the organization and toward the decision makers for how this quarterback situation has played out, that they're this far into it. They don't have an answer. They're not able to bring back Justin Fields. Plan B isn't going maybe like they planned on the timeline that they planned. And this is, to me, just a culmination of all of that. But it speaks volumes that the guy that was on FaceTime with Russell Wilson for an hour last year is like, I'm not doing that again. I'm not. You either come or you don't come. It's no skin off my back. We'll figure it out. We've got Mason Rudolph, and that's all we need. That, to me, is, you know, maybe that lights a fire under Rodgers to say, oh, yeah, like, let me show you why you should have recruited me harder, that kind of thing. But I am nowhere near the inside of Aaron Rodgers' mind, nor do I really want to be.
Talk about living in the darkness. My God. Answer me this, Brooke. Art Rooney, after the season, essentially said that one of his in-house guys is his priority and that they wanted to get that done, that it was either going to be Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. They were going to talk to both. That was the priority. That is what he expected to happen. Well, Russell Wilson's available. He's out there. And in my mind, if the Steelers, all they would have to do is say, Russ, come on back, and he would have been back 3 weeks ago. What's that all about? Where is he? Why isn't he here?
Well, he's not in the darkness. Based on his Instagram story, it looks like he's out training in San Diego, and he is taking free agent visits to other teams. And I think that in this process, the Steelers have kind of telegraphed where they stand on Russell Wilson, because you're right, he is out there and he is available, but their preference was clearly Justin Fields, but not so much so that they were willing to get in a bidding war over him, knowing that Aaron Rodgers was out there and that that was an option. It kind of seems like at this point that Russell Wilson is either plan D, E, or F, or not on their radar. It seems like they are very reluctant to go that route, knowing that they could have Aaron Rodgers. To me, it says that it's that while Art Rooney said his preference was one of those two guys, the real preference was Justin Fields, and to get that done sooner rather than later. And all of the other options were far below that, and Russell Wilson being among them. So to me, it kind of signals that they were not satisfied with Russell Wilson and that they are desperately trying to find any other option before considering going back to him.
What did you make, moving around the division a little bit, of the Bengals bringing back both receivers at a huge cost, and now people are saying they may also be able to bring back Trey Hendrickson? What do you make of the Bengals right now?
You know, I would love to know how they have figured out their budget, because I could use some of those tips in figuring out mine. But it seems to go against the way that the Bengals have typically done business, where they don't guarantee second-year money. They typically don't do these big contracts, things like that. And the fact that they're able to do two and are still working on Trey Hendrickson tells me that they've kind of accepted, like, hey, if we want to be able to compete and keep our team together, keep our franchise quarterback happy, we're going to have to change the way that we do some things. And it shows a willingness to be flexible that I think a team like the Steelers has not so far. I'm interested to see how that plays out, because as we know right now, they have really loaded up on offense and have committed a ton of money to the offense. So they're going to have to get in shootouts every game. I don't know that that's necessarily the best allocation of their resources, but that conversation changes if they're able to figure out a way to bring in Trey Hendrickson. And I think that that's something that other teams in the league that have not been willing to spend big should look at and realize, like, this is the arms race that is the NFL right now. You have to be willing to spend money and spend cash over cap to bring in talented guys and make your team better.
All right, let's move to the Browns. They brought in Kenny Pickett. Do you think he's going to be their starter, or does this clearly signal that they're going to take a quarterback in the draft?
I think it signals that they are going to keep adding to the room, whether that's a free agent quarterback like Russell Wilson, who did take a visit there, or they draft someone. I think that this just gives them more flexibility to explore those options. I think that in adding Kenny, they don't have to take a quarterback in the first round. They can wait, see if somebody falls to them, look at the free agent market. To me, it just kind of expands their options.
What did you think of the DK Metcalf signing?
I thought it was really good. I think that is a un-Steelers-like move to leverage that many draft picks and then also sign him to a big deal. That's a sign to me that maybe this organization is moving in the right direction in terms of spending and giving up assets to bring in difference-making players. But the comparison I keep going back to is it's like buying a Christmas present and realizing Christmas morning you forgot the batteries. I mean, congrats, you've got this awesome weapon in DK Metcalf, but you don't necessarily know who's throwing him the football, and now you're kind of scrambling and checking the remotes and seeing if there's any other batteries that you can pull out and plug in for a little bit until you can figure out a long-term plan.
I'll leave you with this one, Brooke. It seems, you know, Marlon Humphrey after the season alluded to issues in the locker room. I saw where Willie Colon, former Steeler, yesterday alluded to the same. Are there issues in that room? You mentioned earlier that you don't think maybe some of these players have confidence in the plan at quarterback and things like that. Is there some disillusion in that room, either with the coaching or with the management of this team? Did you get that sense during the season with the players?
You know, I think that there was some to an extent. I think that the best example or the most concrete evidence of some frustration is looking at the NFLPA report cards, where ownership grades improved, but not by a wide margin. Mike Tomlin still has a great grade, but players expressed that they didn't necessarily always feel like he was willing to listen to what they were saying and incorporate that feedback into coming up with a plan. And they didn't necessarily feel like Art Rooney was willing to commit the resources to improve the facilities or better the team. Those to me are the most concrete examples we have that while the Steelers players, I think, have some level of trust in the organization, there is more angst maybe than we would have seen in previous years. And that's also a product of the lack of postseason success and the five-game losing streak to end the season. I mean, it's hard to feel anything other than just angsty and uncomfortable at this point, and a little disappointed, I think, and let down if you're a player and you see how that season ended. And, you know, making a big move like getting DK Metcalf, like signing Darius Slay, those are good things and good moves in the right direction, but it doesn't necessarily completely turn around the organization's fortunes. And so I can understand their discomfort at this point.
Brooke, I appreciate you taking the time today. Good luck to the Tar Heels and have a good trip to Dayton. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That's Brooke Pryor. Read her stuff at ESPN.com. And man, she turned the Cam Hayward comments in a direction that I think is fair and has me thinking limits. And that is, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, I agree with Cam here in a way. And that is, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and this, I know this guy's the leader of that team, and he appears to be saying, you know what, either come here or don't. Whereas last year he was FaceTiming Russell Wilson to make the case for him. It's a big difference. Would you feel like you were wanted here? Maybe Cam Hayward is doing all of us a favor by, in so many words, telling Aaron Rodgers maybe he's not that welcome here, or at least saying to him, you know what, it's not like we're all sitting around waiting for you. Either sign or don't.
Yeah, or maybe that it's one-sided in a way where it might be Tomlin, it might be Omar Khan, but will the players fully embrace him, especially when it's your biggest leader, your Walter Payton Man of the Year, basically taking a huge stance against Aaron Rodgers? Like, he could have went neutral on it, but and just kind of like shoved it aside and acted like it was not even asked and just moved past it. But
I don't know. Do you think he's taking a huge stance against it, or just being neutral to the point of you can't help? Like I said, like, just sign or not, you know, we're not waiting here for you. What did Cam say? It's no skin off my back, something like that,
right?
Whatever he does.
I took it as he would probably rather prefer Rodgers not here, but he's not going to completely throw a fight about it if he is.
Do they still want Russell Wilson as badly as they did last year?
No, I don't think at all nearly as close to how they did last year. Last year, they were completely going to bat for him. We heard TJ, Minka, Cam were all talking to him.
I wonder about that. I wonder if Cam would still go to bat for him, and I wonder if they wonder why he's not here.
Doesn't seem like anybody's going to bat for him. I mean, DK Metcalf didn't even say anything at his press conference. Like, yeah, maybe I'll get a chance to play with Russ.
That's another one. Is the whole theme of this show early on was these myths that surround the Steelers and how people just casually drop them left and right, like Ian Rapoport saying, what's the guy's name that they got?
Juan Thornhill.
Yeah, Juan Thornhill, that he gets a chance to join one of the NFL's best defenses. Really? And how Mike Tomlin's regarded as a guy that everybody wants to play for. And then we brought up all the people who have quit on Tomlin, and then the obvious Justin Fields thing. Like, okay, then where's he?
I'm nodding my head like a bobblehead.
Where's plan A? And then I see DK Metcalf said something to the effect of, you know, the Steelers' sell job is that they're the Steelers. You know, they did the selling job on me long before I ever got here. And, you know, if you want to join us and win some games, please do. If not, good luck on the other side, he said.
You know what that sounds like? The Dallas Cowboys and the dysfunction that's been there.
Yeah, the delusional Cowboys.
Yes,
yeah,
the exactly. Delusional Cowboys, where DeMarcus Lawrence just took a 3-year deal in Seattle, and he ended up getting into a Twitter feud with Micah Parsons, where he was talking about how we didn't win enough in Dallas. I want a chance to win. And Micah Parsons took a lot of offense to that. And he basically said, maybe if you weren't doing your podcast or doing media stuff as much and we're out there on the field getting better, we would have won more games. And that became a huge battle on Twitter.
Yeah, Hayward went back into his FaceTime with Wilson and said, I told him from last year, and said, I told him Pittsburgh isn't the place for glitz or glamour. It's not L.A. It's not Atlanta. This is a place where gladiators come and we're going to compete every day. He was receptive to that. He wanted to compete. I believe Cam is that kind of gladiator, but I don't believe that the Steelers really, really enact that sort of myth surrounding them anymore. I'll say it for the 8 trillionth time. They haven't been competitive in a playoff game in nearly a decade. And then Metcalf, where is his quote here? Oh, this is a historic organization, Metcalf said. That's true. They've done the recruiting before I ever got here. So whoever wants to come here and try to win as many games as we can, they can join us. But if not, good luck on the other side. Somebody should tell DK that the other side is winning. The other side's winning. And if he needs proof, I can read him the playoff scores. We could go over the last 8 years. And 8 years is longer than DK Metcalf has even been around. It's longer than the average career in the NFL. It's a long time. And what you're saying just simply doesn't hold water anymore. The big bad Steelers, good luck on the other side. You want to come here, be a gladiator, win some big games. No, it doesn't work that way. In the last 8 years, the Steelers had one outlier good season of 12-4 where they got destroyed in a playoff game. Other than that, including playoffs, it's been 9-6-1, 8-8, 9-8-1, 9-8, 10-8, and 10-8. Do people realize that or not? They've missed the playoffs three times in those 8 years, which is just about 40% of the time. And then they've been decimated in each one of those wildcard games, at home by the Browns, on the road to the Chiefs, on the road to the Bills, and on the road you saw this year to the Ravens. All of them a different degree of total embarrassment. And the last time they won a playoff game, I'm sorry, the last time they were competitive in a playoff game was the 2016 NFL season. Limits, tell me how old somebody is who was born in 2016. Let's say December of 2016. How old are they?
How old they are right now?
Yeah.
About 8, about to turn 9.
Yeah.
Right in that range, 9 years old.
And tell me again when your first memory was as a small little city Limits, maybe a miniature Limits.
Oh, boy. Small little city Limits.
Maybe
probably
5?
Yeah, about that. Sports memory or just general memory?
General memory of being alive and being a person.
About 5 or 6,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, let's go with 6. So you go, someone who's turning 9 plus 6 would be 15,
mm-hmm.
which would be 9th grade. So you have people that are 3 years away from college. You literally have people 3 years away from college who have no conscious memory of the Pittsburgh Steelers being competitive in a playoff game. And yet we perpetuate the myth of, hey, you want to go join somebody else? Go ahead. Good luck with that. We're the Steelers. We're the Gladiators. Everybody wants to come here. We're a historic franchise, a great franchise. There's a mythology about us. There's a magic to play in here. TJ Watt's never won a playoff game. His team has never been competitive in a playoff game. Through no fault of his own, mind you. And TJ Watt is a gladiator. He's an all-time great player. But the overall point there would be, as great as TJ Watt is, man, what else must have been going on in Pittsburgh all these years, people should be thinking. To the point where TJ blanking Watt has never been part of a team that's been competitive in a playoff game? What? He's 31 years old. What else must be going on in Pittsburgh? But they don't ask that question. They perpetuate the myths. That's what they do. 412-928-9370. Join Pomp and Joe on Wednesday, March 19th as they broadcast, that's tomorrow, by the way, from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry for our special Giant Eagle Feed the Need broadcast. You'll be able to call to bid on special items and proceeds going to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Also support now by texting NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. All details at 937thefan.com. I want to get your thoughts on what Cam Hayward said. Like, what do you make of this, that last year at this time, him and Watt and Minka were publicly campaigning around this time for Russell Wilson, like going on the campaign trail to elect Russ as the Steelers' next quarterback. This year, it's Aaron Rodgers, and I don't give a crap about that darkness stuff. You want to be a Steeler? Sign up. If not, forget it. No skin off my back. That's essentially what Cam just said. Wow. Like, what a difference. And what are you thinking if you're Rodgers? Now, I happen to think, again, that Cam is doing everybody a favor here if he's turning Rodgers off to the Steelers, because I don't want Rodgers here. I don't think he helps, other than maybe to give you a better draft pick the next year, and there might be something to be said for that. But what are you thinking? If you're Rodgers, especially if you gain knowledge of what went down last year. Like, wait, these are the same guys that were on Facebook with Russ, begging him to come here? And he's saying, I really don't give a crap whether you come here or not. Whatever. Whatever, guy. Do whatever you want. You want to be a Steeler? Great. If not, great. That's essentially what Cam said. What a difference in 1 year. The leader of the team, 412-928-9370. And the other thing I want to explore further, Tim Benz wrote about this today, I thought it was very good, was how the perception of Mason Rudolph changed so dramatically based on those three games at the end of the regular season 2 years ago. And I get the feeling, sort of anecdotally, that people are comfortable with Mason Rudolph, and I think that's crazy. I do. I think he's a good backup quarterback. Low-end starter, good backup, could go 8-9 or 9-8, but you have zero hope of winning a championship with him. None whatsoever. And there's also a chance it could implode, which again, maybe in the end, that might be the best thing for the Steelers, but I don't really get the thank God that Mason's here. All could be well take. I don't get that.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.